They're bringing everybody. Stepping away from it, Roethlisberger throws off balance, has Holmes. Holmes cuts back, middle pass Walker. Sidesteps another hit. Miller down there leading the charges. Washington's going to throw a block, and Holmes has taken it in. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
We've been playing memorable Steelers-Ravens moments all morning long, and that one has a personal touch for me. I used to go to all the games back in the day with my cousin Brian, and he was out getting nachos when Santonio Holmes caught that ball and took it to the pylon.
Oh, man.
And he was ticked. The 2010 AFC Championship game, he was so drunk he fell asleep next to me. So... I guess that would have been the divisional round game, not the championship game, but you get it. So two Ravens-Steelers playoff games, and he missed a sizable chunk out of both. And an important moment in that one, for sure. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And joining us right now on the Fan Hotline is our buddy from the Post-Gazette, Chris Carter. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Mr. Carter. How you doing?
I'm all right, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Great.
Giving you the Lamar Jackson treatment. Mike Tomlin says, Mr. Jackson, we're going with Mr. Carter today
there
in advance
go.
Of such
that's
a...
That's how it should be on the show.
That's right. Such a massive matchup. And before we get into any of the matchups in particular here, Chris, 30,000 feet, how do you think Steelers fans should be feeling about this one?
I feel like you should be feeling good. If you're the Steelers right now, you're heading into this, you've been playing well, you've been playing consistent, and the Ravens defense has struggled. They've struggled stopping the pass, and your pass game has been working. If this was this time last year, I think you have more reasons to be nervous because your pass game hadn't taken off at any point. But with Russell Wilson in, they've averaged 30 points over three games. He threw three touchdown passes last week. This is a secondary that could be missing Kyle Hamilton, and he's their best player. And even with him in there, they have struggled to stop teams through the air. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm feeling pretty good about this. The defense played well last week against the run. And I think that's one thing you have to do against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. So Steelers fans, I think there's a good reason to feel confident going into this game.
Who scares you more, Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson?
No, it's Lamar Jackson, just because Derrick's can hurt you if you're not paying attention, but I think the Steelers, they've done a great job containing both in their history against both of these guys. But Lamar, with the weapons that they have on this offense now, they added Zay Flowers. Deontay Johnson hasn't made plays yet, but you know that he's out there. Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. If he gets going, it changes everything. I honestly think the Ravens might be a team that has to pass to set up the run in this game, because the Steelers, I think, are going to be so attentive up front. The defensive front was so much better against the run last week after I saw some really not great things against the Giants. I think that they did what they were supposed to do against the Commanders. And with the Ravens offensive line, I think the biggest thing is you got to limit Henry. I think they will. I think they'll be in his spots a lot. But if they let Lamar Jackson complete some of these throws last year, remember he had, what, four or five drops from his players. Three of those probably might have been touchdown plays. You cannot give that group chances to make up for those mistakes this year.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. We have Chris on because he's always doing his homework. Baltimore's secondary has the personnel, I think, not to just be average, but to be good. And yet, they're dead last in the NFL, giving up 296 passing yards a game. Why? What are you seeing here?
One thing, they're not playing the ball well. They're not attacking the ball in the air. Like when they lost to Jameis Winston and the Browns, they dropped like five interceptions.
Yeah.
It was crazy stuff when you go back and you look at that game. Even when they weren't, even Kyle Hamilton dropped like what could have been a game sealing interception in that game. They have struggled, and that's I think a big part of the problem. But Marlon Humphrey, he still looks to punch the ball out. He's still a guy that can make plays there. But you look, Brandon Stevens has not been the guy. He's allowed 40 catches on 60 targets this year, and hasn't really delivered nearly as much as they said. Marlon Humphrey isn't the shutdown guy that he used to be. Roquan Smith looks like he has not been you know, as good in coverage this year as a linebacker as he had been.
Did something happen there? What might have happened there? Well, I mean, is there anything in this game that might point to why Roquan Smith ain't Roquan Smith anymore?
Oh, Patrick Queen might have something to say about that. But I do think there's something to say that, you know, everyone felt that Roquan Smith made Patrick Queen better, and I think he did. But I also think that that might have been more mutual than people realize, and even myself and it factors into that. I thought Roquan Smith would just continue to dominate this year, and he hasn't. And I think that there's a lot of factors that play into that. You know, and then there's guys like Ardarius Washington. He's given up 4 touchdowns. Marcus Williams hasn't lived up to snuff. Eddie Jackson's been terrible. They thought that he would be a really good free agent addition. I thought he would too. What's funny is I think one of their best players has been the rookie Nate Wiggins at corner. I think that he's played very well. So looking at that, I think the problem is it's everywhere. There's not a player outside of Wiggins that I look at in this secondary and I think, they're playing well right now. I mean, Kyle Hamilton plays well, but even he gives up some rough plays here and there. So that's why I think the Steelers could do well. I also think that, you know, one thing the Steelers haven't done too much of, they haven't targeted the tight ends a lot. The Ravens are giving up the most receptions and the third most receiving yards to tight ends this year. That could be a really good sign for Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington.
Chris, do you feel like that this rivalry still has the luster it once did? I feel like this is an exciting game, but you know, back in our day in like the 2000s, it doesn't feel like the same as it once was. And I know the NFL and football is different now, but it just doesn't feel the same to me, at least.
Well, I think part of it was, you know, those two teams were Super Bowl contenders regularly at the same time, and they hated each other, and they consistently ran into each other, even in the playoffs. I mean, when was the last two times these franchises met in the playoffs? Was it 2014?
Was it Ben Tate? I think it was Ben Tate toting the rock.
It was
for the
Ben
Steelers.
Tate game.
Yeah.
It's been a decade, and you think back to it. You know, the Ravens at the year after they won the Super Bowl, they were a really high seed. Pittsburgh went in. Pittsburgh beat them in the 2001 playoffs, and kind of bounced back against them. Then you brought up the 2008. AFC Championship game. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all those guys, they had every reason to hate the Steelers because they kept running into them and they wanted to prove that they were still the top dog. And the Steelers won 2 Super Bowls after the establishment of the Ravens being, you know, one of those top franchises when they won in 2000. So there's a lot of hatred there. Lately, there's a dislike. They're not like buddies, but there's an acknowledgement that, hey, we're the two more established franchises. The Ohio teams are coming up, and they're talking a lot of trash. They're piping up, and they're trying to put down both of these teams. I think that that's where some camaraderie has been felt amongst the Steelers and Ravens fans, at least, where they've been like, hey, we see each other. We know we're top dogs. Forget those guys over in Ohio, the Bengals and Browns fans. But as far as the players, I think they haven't had the opportunity to hate each other because neither have they haven't crushed each other's hearts. They haven't knocked each other out of the playoffs. When that happens, that's when things start to get nasty.
Hmm. I also think the rules in the era just made it
very true.
Then. I mean, you used to be able to maim people out there.
Yes.
For better or worse, but Styles made those fights.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was going to be 13-9 one time down there. I mean, the AFC Championship game was 16-14 before the Paul Amalu interception. Low scoring. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like it was bad offense. These last few years, when the games would be low scoring, I thought it was bad offense. Back then, the defenses were just so good. Speaking of, I can't believe I used this as a transition. Speaking of 13-9, Chris, you're going to be joining me tonight at 6:20 for a little Pitt, West Virginia basketball preview. So real quick, your thoughts on this game tonight.
I think this is going to be a much more interesting matchup than people thought it would be. I like things that I've seen West Virginia do basketball-wise. I like things that Pitt's done basketball-wise. You know, Tucker DeVries, can Pitt limit him at the guard position? You look at what Ishmael Leggett has done defensively. He's been taking on the opposing team's top guards. I want to see what he does in this game. I want to see, does he do that well against, you know, a power conference team like West Virginia? And we talked to Jeff Capel yesterday. One thing he said, like, hey, you know, we said, you know, leave no doubt. That's the message. That's the team message this year for Pitt basketball because of how they were left out of the tournament with 22 wins. And if you're a team that's not in the ACC, that always has gotten you in every time over the last 5 years. So the Panthers, They know that they have to go in. They have to win these early games, these non-conference games. Losses to anybody hurts you apparently in your resume, even if you have a good resume at the end of the season. So looking at this, I'm looking at how Cam Corin against Imani Hansberry and the blocks. Who wins those battles? If Cam Corin can continue to improve, or Hansberry can continue to improve, that could be the sign here. But I also am excited to see Jalen Lowe, Javon Small, just athletic guards. They're going to be testing each other. DeVries and Small versus Leggett and Lowe. But also look out for Damian Dunn. I think he's becoming the Jamarius Burton of this team, as a mid-range threat who can kind of balance things and take things off pace. And then Brandon Cummings, who I think, Nelly Cummings' younger brother, I think he's shown some really good promise early. This is going to be a really good matchup tonight. I feel like this is going to be a fun game to watch. Athletic teams and West Virginia, I think, might be better than people give it credit for. John Rothstein's going to want to maybe come up with at least a new phrase if he doesn't want to give them their old one.
What about tomorrow? What about that matchup? Pitt Clemson.
It's going to be a tough one, man. Klubnik's been great for Clemson. 24 passing touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He's also run in for more touchdowns. Does a good job. I think Pitt defense will show up. Biggest question I have is for the offense. Pat Narduzzi says Eli Holstein is a game time decision, but he also admitted to us he hasn't been cleared yet. If he hasn't been cleared by Thursday and Nate Yarnell's been working with the first team offense, I have to think that Nate Yarnell's going to start in this game. But what I wrote about yesterday in the Post-Gazette is, that's just the tip of the iceberg for the offensive questions. Pat Narduzzi's been yelling on a megaphone at his offensive lineman all week. Hey, be on the line. Be here early. Do this. Do that. Don't call for this holding penalty. The Pitt receivers, they had, I think, 3 drops combined all season long for the last 2 games. And then the last 2 games, they've dropped a combined 10 passes. They have to get their focus back. They have to be stronger at it. And, Pat Narduzzi said, hey, they're catching balls in practice. They've just been messing up in the game. Whatever juju is upon the Panthers, they have to shake it off. But this is a tough team to have to shake off that juju against. Phil Maffa's a dangerous running back. Klubnik's a really good quarterback. Antonio Williams is going to and TJ Moore are going to test you in the receiving game, as is their tight end Jake Brinningstuhl. This is a tough Clemson team. They're very balanced. They have talent. And if Pitt's offense can get back on track, they'll have a shot. But if they are not, I feel like the defense can keep them in this, but eventually it gets ugly in the second half. So that's how I feel about this Clemson team, Doran.
That's why we love talking to you on Fridays, Chris, because you cover the Steelers and you cover Pitt. So we get everything in one nice, neat little box. And I will talk to you tonight, my friend, at 6:20. Thank you.
Yes, you will.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. We'll react to some of what Chris had to say coming up next. Steelers-Ravens looms. Backyard basketball this evening. And we have yet to trash talk on or off the air. Food for thought. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
2nd and 5, and of course, Flacco will milk the clock as far down as he can. 25 and ticking down in the fourth. And he gets knocked down and the ball is loose and it's Polamalu. It's picked up by Woodley and he gets taken down to the 10-yard line. Huge, huge play. Flacco going back, and unless that arm was coming forward, this will stand.
His arm was not coming forward. Steelers beat the Ravens to win the AFC North in 2010. And that's what these games used to mean. They used to be for division supremacy. And lately, it's been, can the Steelers win in horrific rain in Baltimore against a quarterback not named Lamar Jackson just to simply sneak into the playoffs? Well, this one's got that prize fight, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson kind of feel, Doran, where it is for AFC North supremacy. You can forget about the Bengals. And my gosh, we know this already. You can forget about the Cleveland Browns. Who's going to make the play? What's the moment going to look like? We played Santonio Holmes. I don't think we played it, actually. Santonio Holmes in 2008 gets both feet in the end zone, and there was much debate about whether or not the ball actually crossed the goal line, and that was for the division championship. Troy Polamalu there. I don't know what the hell the Ravens are doing in that moment. That one remains perplexing 14 years later. Ravens up in the ballgame. 3.5 minutes to go. 2nd down and 5. You're trying to run the clock out. And Flacco drops back to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And Polamalu times it perfectly. So Troy makes plays. We obviously know about Santonio Holmes making plays. Who's going to make the play tomorrow? Who do you think for the Steelers? If the Steelers win, who's making the play?
Pat Freiermuth. No, actually.
Oh. An immediate retraction from you.
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Oh, we're going to see a Minkah play.
Yep. Yep.
If Minkah makes a play that decides this football game, all is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of these people who kills him for not having the turnovers, but I do think you need more splash from him. And the guy I brought up is Ed Reed. They would play cover two. So, I mean, it is different.
Yeah.
It's different. But he was the center fielder, and he was making sure he'd keep the top on that thing. But he would still take the ball away with regularity.
Minkah does that tomorrow or Sunday.
If he does that tomorrow, all is forgiven, and no one will be talking about why haven't you been making plays.
Sunday.
Whatever. That's the thing, man. You make a play in this game when it means this much, you get remembered forever. Like in 15 years, we could be playing, hopefully we're still doing this, or hopefully we're still doing this, we're still employed. We could be playing it to set up another Steelers-Ravens game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ben making plays at the end of games, Flacco making plays at the end of games, Ray Rice at times running all over the Steelers. You remember that for better or worse. So if a Steeler is going to make a game-changing play, and let's leave the quarterback out of it, who's it going to be and why this Sunday against Baltimore? 412-928-9370. Chris Carter in the last segment said, yeah, you worry about Lamar more than you worry about Derrick Henry, but you need to stop Derrick Henry first, if that makes sense. I think it does. We also got to the backyard basketball with him a little bit. And I do think Pitt's going to win this game, Doran. It's year 7 under Jeff Capel. They've got returning guys. Dunn as a transfer is, I think, primed to have a really good season. He's thick. I think he's a good defender, a strong rebounding guard. I think it's close, though, and both of these teams are similar in how they want to get out and run. So unlike last year and unlike some of the Bob Huggins years, I think it will be an aesthetically pleasing backyard basketball tonight.
Like there's not one starter that was there last year for West Virginia, right?
There's not one player on the roster
right
from West Virginia last year.
And that's the thing. That's where Pitt wins, because they understand this matchup, they understand this game, and they're the better coach team, they're the better foundational team.
Whoa.
They're the better basketball team.
They may well be the better basketball team.
They're the better coach team.
I don't know how you can say that.
Why?
Just because he's been here for 7 years? He's a better coach?
Yeah, from last year and this year.
I can't go. I think Darren DeVries is a hell of a hire. I think he's a hell of a coach.
It was a good hire, but he's not a better coach than Capel right now.
I think Capel's got a ton of pressure on him, weirdly, this year. One tournament in 6 years. Now, last year, I mean, come on.
Right.
He's done a great job turning it around. And in the middle of a transition era.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I think he stepped in it a little bit yesterday, though.
Okay.
Saying that this is not a physical West Virginia basketball team.
Not as physical as they once were. He didn't say they're not a physical team.
He better be careful.
See, like, you're putting words in his mouth. What? Like, that's not what he said.
Better be careful. It is a physical basketball team. Height is a significant advantage for Pitt, though. And their guard depth. And I saw the line is Pitt -6.5, and I think that's fair. I think that's valid. And I think that Chris made a good point, too. And we're obviously just going to spend a few minutes on this because it's Steelers-Ravens Friday. But these are the games Pitt needs to get to make sure that even if they have a good ACC record, they get into the tournament.
Yeah.
They got totally screwed last year.
They have a tough schedule from here on out. I mean, from here and for the next, like, 2-3 weeks, right?
Yes. Ohio State coming up. Ohio State's got a big matchup tonight taking on Texas A&M. Ohio State is a really good – they've come out to a really good start.
Mm-hmm.
So Pitt is testing themselves in the non-conf. And it's not Pitt's fault either last year that their marquee non-conference game got totally derailed and devalued because the head coach was driving around while drunk. Like, mm-hmm. That's not Pitt's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Pitt's better this year than last year. I think Pitt's better this year than 2 years ago.
If you think Pitt's better this year than last year with losing Carrington and Hinson. Then they're a better coach team.
I think Darren DeVries is a heck of a coach.
He's a better coach right now than Jeff Capel.
I think through two games, I'm liking a lot of what I'm seeing.
You're not answering the question.
I mean, Capel's gone to an Elite Eight with Oklahoma, and he's had a Power
I'm
Five job
right
for
now.
Seven. Right? I don't know. I think Capel's a hell of a coach. I think West Virginia got a hell of a coach. He was the coach I wanted in the cycle. Whenever Dusty May was out there and some other really good coaches, I think they nailed it. They didn't have a 2-game winning streak last year, Dorn.
I know.
At any point.
Yeah.
Already they've done it. And they beat Wake Forest in their exhibition game. Wake Forest picked third in the ACC ahead of Pitt. I'm just saying. I don't think it's going to wind up that way either, by the way. I think Pitt's a better team than Wake Forest. But I think this should be a competitive, fun watch tonight. And I think West Virginia is a physical basketball team.
Nobody said that they weren't.
Nobody
said that they weren't.
I'm just telling Cape, just be careful, Jeff.
They're
That's
not
all I'm
like
saying.
They were under Huggins.
No.
Correct.
No, because that's impossible.
That's what he was saying.
They would foul you 67 times in a game.
That's all he was saying.
And would dare the officials
that they're not
to
physical
call fouls. All right, if there is a big play made in this game, a la Troy Polamalu in 2010, a la Santonio Holmes in 2008, who's making the play and why for the Pittsburgh Steelers? 412-928-9370. And we got odds and ends coming up next as we break down Steelers-Ravens like nobody else. All right, you can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. What's it going to look like for Steelers-Ravens? Steelers win close? Ravens win close? Steelers blow them out? Ravens blow them out? You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley. And we'll get down to the why right now with odds and ends. Let's go!
Let's go. All right. Steelers. Ravens. 1 p.m. at Acrisure Stadium. Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. 3-0. Over under 225.5 passing yards, Crowley.
I have a feeling this will be the easiest answer I'm going to give the entire time. I'm going over. The Ravens are giving up nearly 300 passing yards a game. I do think they'll get some pressure on Russ by blitzing, but Washington blitzed a lot against Russ as well, and they ran the ball 40 times. I don't think they're running it 40 times against the Ravens. I think he throws it probably 35, 40 times. I think it's an easy over Doran Dickerson.
I am absolutely with you on that.
He's also, if I may, averaging 245 yards passing a game, not going up against the worst pass defense in the NFL.
I'm with you. Lamar Jackson, over under 234.5 passing yards.
You know what I'm going to say, and it's going to piss people off, but this is a battle between two elite quarterbacks right now. That's right. Russ is elite. Lamar, the best in the game today. He'll be the best in the game on Sunday. He's going over 250+ as he slices and dices the Steelers' defense.
I'm going under. I think they want to run the football a lot more in this game with Derrick Henry. They're going to try to control the game with Derrick Henry. I'm going under 234.5 passing yards for Lamar Jackson. Najee Harris, over under 62.5 rushing yards.
I'm going under, Doran. I think they're going to try to get him going. I think he's going to get 18, 20 carries. I don't think they're going to run the ball at the same volume as last week. And the Ravens' rush defense is the antithesis of the pass defense. They're only giving up 3.2 yards a carry. I think it's tough sledding. I'm going under.
I'm with you. He had around, 53, 54 yards rushing last week. I'm going under. I think he goes around the same, around 50-ish yards rushing. Jaylen Warren over under 28.5 rushing yards. That's if he is healthy and ready to roll.
Yeah, that's my concern. I don't think it's a big hand the ball off to Jaylen Warren game. If he's healthy and able to go, I think it's a big check it down to Jaylen Warren game. I'm going to go under on that.
Going under as well, Derrick Henry. We said this earlier. I think he's right around this number, over under 85.5 rushing yards.
That is by far the highest total, whether it be the Steeler or an opponent this year. And it's because he's averaging 112 yards a game. All right, can I flip this around real quick?
Mm-hmm.
If they hold him to 85, did they do a good job?
Yes.
I think so, too. Ugh. Slightly under.
I'm with you. 82 yards rushing for Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, over under 43.5 rushing yards.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well because they have stopped all the athletic quarterbacks and running quarterbacks in the last how many games? Really, all season.
Do you think playing Jaden Daniels last week helps them with Lamar?
No doubt.
Do you think Justin Fields as the practice squad scout team quarterback helps them with Lamar?
No doubt.
I'm going under.
But I don't know if it's the same game plan as last week, because that's what they think the Ravens are anticipating, is how they tried to shut down Jaden Daniels, especially in the run game. They're anticipating the Steelers to do the same thing, and it looked the same against them. And I don't know if it's going to look the same, but they will do a good job. So under for Lamar Jackson rushing 43.5 rushing yards. George Pickens over under 70.5 receiving yards.
Over.
This is the highest it's been.
Yeah. Russ is going to cook. Pickens is going to cook. Pickens with Russ has been a different animal. And Pickens on the season is averaging 71 yards a game. And again, not against the worst pass defense in the league. He's going to get loose for a couple catch and runs. He's going to get hit over the top for one. He's going over. I think if the number were 120, I think he's going over, Dickerson. How about that?
120?
Yep. I think he's going to absolutely explode all over this Ravens defense.
I love that. I'm going to go over, but not 120 over, but over 70.5 if you're betting. I think George Pickens has another big game. Pat Freiermuth, our guy. The Ravens give up 68 yards a game to tight ends. Pat Freiermuth, over under 27.5 receiving yards.
It's got to be his time.
Got to be, right?
This is the Pat Freiermuth game. He's averaging 31 yards a game. I keep doing this. And again, not against the worst pass defense in the league. They get shredded by tight ends. Most catches in the league to tight ends. Third most yards in the league to tight ends. Patty just got a fat contract. He's been lying in wait. He caught a touchdown last week. Yes, this is the Freiermuth game, TM.
I'm clearly with you. He goes well over 27.5. Now, some of these I have to come up with my own lines because the lines aren't out that early. Just a little inside baseball here. But Mike Williams, I made this line up. Over under 20.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, I'll go over that. I'll go over that. I don't know how many catches he's going to have.
We have that on here too, so.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to go over 20.
I'll go over 20, yeah.
Man, I know this. I made this line up and I'm struggling with it.
No, that's good. That means it's a good line.
It's good, yeah. I'm going to go slightly over. Slightly over, because I think that his rep count it increases actually significantly, not crazy, but significantly clearly from last game, which was I think around 9 reps.
Yes.
Zay Flowers, over under 57.5 receiving yards.
I'm going over, man. I think clearly, by the way, I'm predicting these over unders, these odds and ends. I think it's gonna be a shootout. I'm not buying what Joey Porter Jr. is selling right now. I think he's on a downward trajectory. Mike Tomlin said he was handsy in this game, but that doesn't make it a pattern. I think it is a pattern. And I said it last week going into the game, going up against Terry McLaurin, that I think the guys he struggles with are the wiggly dudes, the fast dudes. That's what Flowers is. I think he's going over if Mike Tomlin has JPJ following him around, and I assume he will.
I'm going to go slightly under, around 50 yards receiving. Rashad Bateman, over under 34.5 receiving yards.
Under.
I'm going to go over for him. I think he has a big play. He usually has a big play a game. So I'm going to go over 34.5 receiving yards. I thought that was going to be a little bit higher.
He's averaging 50 on the year. He has 16 yards a catch, does Bateman.
Yeah, he has a big play explosive ability. Mark Andrews, over under 32.5 receiving yards.
I think I'm going under on Andrews. I know that that's where Lamar likes to attack, is the middle of the field. I think it might be a bigger Isaiah Likely game.
Okay. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over there. 32.5 receiving yards. Deontay Johnson, over under 2 receptions.
I think Tomlin's baiting him here on this, man. Yeah, he's not on the film. Haven't even thought about him. They got more significant playmakers. And I think Harbaugh's going to bite into it, man. I think Deontay's not going to have a game, but I think he's going to get a decent amount of targets. I think he's going to go over that number.
Yeah, same here. He's going to have over 2 catches. I think he might actually have 3. Mike Williams, over under 2 catches.
It's a great line.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly over gets 3.
I think he hits it right on the nose. It's 2 catches. It's right on the nose. Yeah, 2 catches for Mike Williams, and he does hit his over of 20.5 yards. George Pickens, over under 4.5 receptions.
Over.
Yes, with you.
He's built for Steelers-Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had the clutch catch last year from Kenny Pickett down the sideline to win that sucker.
Will Nick Herbig have a sack?
No.
Yes, he will. Will TJ Watt have a sack?
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Can't keep the big man down.
Nope. The dam's going to break for TJ Watt, and this is going to be a game for him. Will Patrick Queen have on the number or over 8 tackles?
He's going over.
Yeah.
He's going over. It was the best he played in the Steelers uniform last week, and I don't think it's any coincidence. We heard the press conference earlier this week. He is pissed off for greatness, Doran.
Will Minka have an interception?
No.
Yes. I think it's going to be a big game for Minka. Big game for Minka Fitzpatrick.
If Minka has a pick, they win the game. And you think they win the game?
Yes, I do. All right. Off the wall prediction. This is new. Well, from last week. I'm going to give you some time to think because I didn't tell you that we were going to do this.
No, yet. I like it. I like it.
My off the wall prediction for this football game on Sunday. Deontay Johnson drops a touchdown.
Oh, I love it.
Drops a touchdown right in the breadbasket. It slips right through his hands, and the crowd is absolutely on fire. And they let him hear it from that point until the rest of the game.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I like that, and so I'll give you one. I kind of want to go with a storyline here. You know, part of me thinks that Tucker misses a big kick, but I'll go with Najee Harris runs over Roquan Smith at the goal line, a la Bettis over Urlacher for a touchdown, and Patrick Queen takes his pants off in celebration on the sideline.
I like it. I like it. There we go. Odds and ends.
Yeah.
It's a big one. There was a lot there. There's a lot of props there. It's going to be a fun game. Can't wait.
It's a huge, huge, huge football week. And so we're going to go around college, around the NFL with Lee Sterling coming up next, and going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh's trusted tire source since 2009. Lee Sterling at 9 o'clock. We're going behind enemy lines with Vinny Serrato, who's so good on covering the Ravens, at 9:35. We'll give you players to watch all coming your way in the 9 o'clock hour. But first, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 55, low of 45.